Welcome to Step Into Magic, your weekly online radio show on how to develop your psychic ability, deepen your spirituality, and find your own true purpose with acclaimed medical intuitive, Josephine Lang. This broadcast is a part of the Wisdom and Intuition Network at worldclasswin.com. This is Tony Taylor, your host, and on behalf of Josephine, I'll be taking your calls and questions. This week's topic is using psychic skills at work and at home. For anyone new to our show, Josephine has been a clairvoyant healer for more than 25 years. During that time, she's helped thousands of people from around the world to heal from hard-to-diagnose and chronic health issues. She's also been a teacher and spiritual mentor for hundreds of people who treasure her insights, courage, and love.
Hello, everyone. Thank you all for joining us. We love you all so much and feel your love coming right back to us. And this is the real flow of energy in the universe, the one that counts, the flow of love. I feel the sweetest feeling of love reverberating between us, and that right there is the true meaning of life. It's why we are here, love. And it is what we have come into our beingness to do, to exchange love between us. Next week, talking about love, specifically self-love. But tonight, we are finishing up our month on cultivating our natural psychic abilities with our topic of using our psychic abilities in our day-to-day lives, both at work and at home. And as you know, I always like to begin our show with our spiritual agreement, which was a gift from our friend and mentor, Jana Massey. And I'd like to ask you all to please make this agreement with us. And it goes like this. Together, we acknowledge that everything that we think, that we say, and that we do at this time will be of the highest good. And together we ask for truth, the understanding of that truth, and the wisdom to use it in our lives. Can you all agree?
I do.
Thank you very much, Tony. So, strong psychic ability has always been a part of my life. My dad was a reincarnational child. He could remember his most recent past life in great detail while he was young. And my mother was gifted with premonitions that actually saved our lives. And my brother also inherited this skill. My mother came right after she died to visit my father in the form of her own body sitting on the seat of the car beside him. She actually appeared beside him after he had signed the papers of her death and picked up her clothing and was driving home. And they wound up taking a long drive together, and she gave him instructions as to how he could best continue our family life together without her, because we were all young enough, us children, that we were still at home. We were in our teenage years, but we were still young and needed a little watching over. And that had not been his role until that time. So he really stepped up to that. It was a beautiful thing. And then I also have a cousin who knows when people are going to die. She can tell, she just has this great knowing, and she knows they're going to go. That's quite a skill. And then I have a sister in love who knows before earthquakes are going to strike. And so in my life, there's no denying it. It really doesn't matter what society thinks about psychic ability. I know psychic phenomenon to be very real and very true. So it's not surprising that I've found my way into my purpose in life through my psychic skills as well. I've spent the better part of the last 3 decades working as a clairvoyant healer. And the preeminent physicist, Albert Einstein, was all too aware of the gift of psychic ability. And he said, and perhaps you can show that slide, Tony.
Certainly.
Maybe you'd like to read it out for us.
Okay. The great Albert Einstein. He said, "The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is the faithful servant. We've created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift."
Isn't that a good one?
Yeah, it's absolutely excellent. And it seems to me that one of the things that Step Into Magic does is it helps with encouraging us to value our intuitive minds.
Yeah.
And it encourages me anyway, and I'm sure it encourages other people, to find the time and the space to listen to it and to honor it. And I think we really need this. I know that I need this when the tide of our culture is so still flowing so strongly the other way, as Einstein observed. It's just, it is a gift, and it's been, you know, forgotten.
Yeah, it's a sacred gift.
Mm-hmm.
And we're acculturated to ignore our psychic hits. We say, you know, do you want to hear something really weird? You know, but it's not weird. It's normal. And we even use the word paranormal, as if psychic phenomena doesn't really exist. And Rupert Sheldrake, my friend and the famous biologist who studies telepathy, once observed, being a biologist wouldn't have as much use for a field. Being a biologist, I wouldn't have as much use for a field called parabiology.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it makes it sound so hokey, parabiology. And Larry Darcy said that as a physician, he would not have much use for a field called paramedicine.
Mm-hmm.
And studies with these titles don't seem to hold any real meaning. You know, it's just sort of demeans them so much. So we have to realize from the beginning that even our language is against us here. And our research into psychic abilities are looked upon as if they are pseudoscience, whereas, in fact, the exact opposite is true. Because of this cultural prejudice, all psychic research is done with extreme impeccability, with double-blind studies and large test samples, whereas those who oppose this research tend to have no basis in scientific data and are merely clinging, you know, more or less dogmatically to old beliefs which were originally created to, unfortunately, intentionally disempower the populace. So if you're trying to control someone or a group of people, the last thing you want them to do is to listen to and follow their own inner guidance.
Clearly, yeah.
Yeah. But growing up in my family with such strong examples of the many benefits that come from heeding our psychic ability, this left me fully able to embrace my own psychic ability in my life, so I just disregarded that stuff. And some call my skill of being a medical intuitive, you know, that's what I'm usually referred to as. Though I use that term, it's not my favorite term. It's not the one that I really prefer. My mentor and teacher, Dr. Otto, who was a dearly beloved and very popular chiropractor in our area, he once said to me that, you know, the word intuitive is kind of vague. You know, it's not really that strong. Whereas the word psychic is strong. And he said, I'd call you a healing psychic. And the word medical, which is part of a medical intuitive, that sort of usually connotes to us that you're going to use drugs or surgery. And I don't do either of those because I'm not a doctor. So I've kind of adopted the term of clairvoyant healer, which works pretty well. I mean, clairvoyant is very accurate, but healer is even a little dicey in some ways because we really don't ever heal anyone else, just like we can't really make a tree. You know, healing always takes place within the person's body. And to look upon someone else as your healer as if they are doing the healing is, I believe, disempowering to yourself. So one of the things that I do in my work is to have my spiritual agreement for the highest good, which is the same agreement that we all do at the beginning of this show. Everyone I work with makes this agreement with me, both verbally and in writing. And I also let everyone know that I have no training or certification at all as a psychic, nor do I have any official training as a doctor. And then a part of my agreement that we all have when I'm doing my work is that the people who are coming to me for assistance, they need to really understand that they themselves are personally responsible for their own health and healing. Because I feel that it's important for us to be empowered by our healing work that we do for ourselves. And what I try to do in my work is to inspire in my clients the power, just that power, to heal themselves. So I use my psychic skills to perceive what might be going on in a person's physical or energetic fields, and then I share what I might have received, and then I encourage them to find or to utilize possible avenues that they can, you know, come across that will help them to restore the balance of health on their own. And so let me just give you an example. This will probably explain it a little better. So one time I was checking in with someone, and I saw in my mind's eye a stamp made of blue food dye on the surface of a carcass that was ready to be processed into cuts of meat. Then the next image, so I shared that with them, and then I was like, I never know where these readings are going to go. It's like, well, who knows what that means? Okay, so I just have to trust the process, and I share those there. That's what I saw. Then the next thing I see is I'm finding myself like down deep into the kidney, into the really tiny little tubules that process the blood and extract out the urine. And there's these little tiny tubules in the kidneys that are called nephrons. And so I'm down in the nephrons, and these very fine kidney tubules of the person that I'm looking into, and these nephrons are looking really red and inflamed. They don't look happy. And then I give this information to my client, and upon hearing it, it seemed clear to them that the blue dye apparently was the cause of what was most likely an allergic reaction in their kidneys, which was what they had called about. They were having some kidney trouble. So we discussed how they could maybe just simply cut the fat off of the meat and avoid other sources of blue dye, for instance, in some beverages or frozen green vegetables. Sometimes they put blue dye in those and other sources like that. And then I let them take it from there. And they called me back and told me that it worked, as the kidney problems that they'd called about cleared up and never returned. And here's another example of how I do my work a little bit. So this one involved the liver. And this was a mother of a young 4-year-old girl called, and her daughter had been suffering from terrible nightmares. And the child would wake up every night, sometime between 1 and 3 in the morning, crying and afraid. And so I asked within on her behalf. I have a whole protocol that I do before I begin my work, and I got myself cleared and ready to go, and I asked within and received an image of a carton of milk. And I shared this with the mother. And then I also mentioned that in Chinese medicine, the liver meridian is being cleansed right at that time, which indicated to me that something was troubling the child's liver because of the timing of that, of those nightmares, and that this could be why she was waking up right then. So the mother put two and two together and took the child off of milk, and sure enough, the nightmares stopped. And she called back shortly thereafter to inquire about goat's milk and raw dairy. And I got this sweet little picture in my mind of happy milk goats and milk cows in a field full of green grasses and flowers with a little girl playing around them in the sunshine, gathering flowers and picking herself a little bouquet, and everything looked fine. And so then the mother tried those types of milk, and her daughter was fine with it. No nightmares. So then a few years later, like I think it was two or three years later, she calls me back, and the problem had begun to return. Her daughter had begun once more to begin to have these nightmares that, right at that time, between 1 and 3 in the morning. And then upon inquiry, I asked the mother, and she realized that she had begun to let her daughter enjoy some pasteurized and homogenized cow's milk from time to time in different food sources. I think it was cheese or something. And so I like to think sometimes my work is a little bit like there was this movie from 1966 that starred Raquel Welch. It was called The Fantastic Voyage. And in the movie they had this team of scientists that took some sort of potion or something, and they shrunk way down to little minuscule people, and they got in the little traveling craft, and they were injected via a hypodermic needle into this very important person's body. And then they zoomed around in the bloodstream and found the health problem that was about to, you know, injure this guy, and they cleared it up and patched it up before their shrinking potion wore off, and then they got out of the body just in the nick of time. And my work sometimes reminds me of that, because I get these images of small details of the internal organs of a person's body and how it's functioning or what might be going wrong. And I share these pictures or knowings, and sometimes they're tastes or smells, or you know, sometimes I'll, you know, smell cigarette smoke or taste alcohol or ketones or whatever it might be. And I generally let the person take it from there. I just share the information that comes through psychically. Sometimes I'll hear words, like I remember one reading I was doing for somebody, I heard, it's the penis. And I shared that with the caller, and then they said, oh, gosh, that's very interesting, because I just started having, you know, this new habit of eating about a bag of peanuts once a week for the last month or so. So then, you know, they realized that the peanuts were most probably the cause, the underlying cause behind the rash that they had developed. So anyway, that's a little bit about how my work works as a psychic.
Well, I'm so glad you shared that, Josephine. It's really, really fascinating. And one of the things I found most interesting is how you're given almost like a set of clues.
Yes, that is what it's like. It's very much like a little detective work, isn't it?
Yeah, and you get one thing, and then it's almost like, you know, say how I imagine someone might make a painting, you know, one idea, then another, and gradually the thing comes into view.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Like you seem to have to really have to trust it step by step of the way.
Yeah, and sometimes it's so odd, and I think, what? You know, like with the carcass of meat, I'm thinking, what is this picture about? And, you know, and there's this big, you know, USDA stamp of approval. You know, I'm thinking, well, I see this, you know, bright blue big stamp on there, you know. What is that about? Who knows? You know, so I just trust it, share it, move on.
So I'm sure that's something that we can all learn from, is like when we're beginning to trust our own intuition, our own psychic ability, that even if something strange comes, then maybe we just need to, okay, trust that.
Yeah.
We don't really know what it means yet, but that's okay, and then we can go on and get something else.
That's exactly right. Yep, that's what I do. Good. And I just never know. And sometimes I'll say to the client who's called, you know, I just have to trust these things. You know, we'll just move on down the line. We'll see. Maybe it'll make more sense later. And often it does. In fact, probably always it does. Yeah, so our extrasensory perception is very like our normal perception. And it's also a lot like our imagination. So I'd like to just start off right away with doing a little exercise right now just to warm up our senses. Does that sound like a good idea?
Sounds good.
Great. Okay, so go ahead and relax, get comfortable. If you're sitting in a chair, you might want to straighten your spine or put your feet down flat on the floor, whatever works best for you, and take a couple of nice, easy, and relaxed breaths. Or if you're laying down, whatever is great. And close your eyes if you like. Of course, if you're operating machinery, you're going to want to save this exercise for later. And see if you can just take a moment and imagine your front door. Just imagine what it looks like in your mind's eye. Now, think of the taste of a lemon. See if you can imagine how sour it is. And now perhaps you can remember the smell of something like fresh baked bread in the oven, or a cake or something, or maybe a rose. Or the smell of your dog's feet. I always love smelling dog feet. Now imagine that you can hear someone that you love saying your name. I love that one. I always hear my father's voice saying my name. Let your ears hear the timbre of their voice. Now see if your fingers can remember what it feels like to have sand slip through your hand, right between your fingers. That wonderful feeling of the sand lightening in your hand and moving through. Then go ahead and let yourself return to your normal waking consciousness. Come back fully to the room or the great outdoors or wherever you might be, and stretch a little bit and open your eyes and see how that feels. How was that for you, Tony?
Oh, it was really nice.
Good.
It reminded me a little bit of what we were doing, was it last week, when we were getting back into the child mind?
Oh, yes.
Because it seemed to me, you know, this kind of thing, I used to do this kind of imagining all the time back then.
Yes, it's true. We really have a magical time in childhood when we have that child mind on board, and it does open us a lot more to our day-to-day psychic experiences.
Mm.
Yeah. So I'm going to be referring to a lot of books tonight. These are my teachers, and I'll be showing slides with their titles and the authors. So get your pencils out, and thank you, Frank, so much for making our slides today. And like I said, these are all my personal teachers who opened their hearts through their writing and followed their true calling of their lives and helped me to develop my psychic ability in a really good quality way, a really good, safe way. And so together with these we're all helping to turn the tide of our collective group mind away from the current prejudice against psychic ability. And I'm going to start with Shakti Gawain and her wonderful book, Living in the Light. And in it, she talks about living as a channel, and I'd just like to read you a little tiny bit here. And she says, channeling works in two ways. Energy either flows through you to others or from others to you. I think that's very true about telepathy and all of our psychic ability. And as you become increasingly conscious of the flow of the universe moving through you and through everything and everyone else, your body will become capable of channeling more energy. And the more energy you are willing to receive, and then the more energy you'll be able to give. To become a clear channel for the universe presents the highest challenge and offers the greatest potential joy and fulfillment for every human being. Being a channel means living fully and passionately in the world, having deep relationships, playing, working, creating, enjoying money and material possessions, totally being yourself, yet never for one moment losing your profound connection with the power of the universe within you. Then you can watch the universe create through you. It can use you to do its work. Living as a channel is an experience that's available to anyone who is willing to make the inner commitment. And I think that really sums up a life that, that is lived with our psychic ability intact, when we're just allowing the energies of the universe to flow through us in such a good way. And, you know, we enter into the flow of exchange with that. And, there's another book I wanted to mention, which is Judith Orloff. Her book, Second Sight, is just brilliant. And she begins her book with the tragic story of a young woman who was one of Judith's patients who attempted suicide. And while this woman was receiving treatment, Judith had a dream about her being lost and wandering and not knowing where to go or what to do and calling out for help. But Judith disregarded the dream. And there were no other signs other than this very strong dream that could have indicated to her, Judith, who was this young woman's psychiatrist, that problems lay immediately ahead. And fortunately, the client survived the experience, and Judith, as a result of that, because she was very concerned during this whole time that this woman was so injured, Judith vowed to never again disregard her intuition. If something came through for her, she thought, I'm going to pay attention. And our sense of knowing can come from dreams like Judith's, or from premonitions like my mother's, or from a strong, calm sense of knowing, you know, that deep recognition of the clear path that lays before us amidst the turmoil that may surround us in our lives. And that's so often what happens, is we feel this like, what do I do? Where do I go? And then suddenly we just clearly know the path of what's up for us. You had a good story about that, didn't you, Tony?
Well, as you were talking about that, I was thinking of several. there's a couple to do with my son, but the one that was going through my mind was actually many, many years ago.
Hmm.
I was running a training course. It was a drugs education training course.
Great.
And during one of the breaks, I think it was, I was running it with this woman and this man, and I suddenly had an image of this guy going out and buying some drugs and injecting them.
Oh, wow.
And he was a recovering addict. He hadn't had taken drugs for many years, but he had when he was younger. And I asked him, you know, is everything okay? And he said, yeah, everything's fine. You know, I'm enjoying myself. I'm good. And I later learned, I don't know, maybe 6 months later, that day, he started using drugs again.
Whoa. Isn't that something very
yeah.
profound?
And then his life spiraled out of control.
Ah, wow. Yeah. And, you know, if we can take action on these kind of things, you know, we get an image like that, like what Judith's experience was. You know, if we can stop everything, drop everything, and say, wait a minute, I had a dream. Or, wait a minute, I've had this image. What's going on with you? Let's get right down to the nitty-gritty, and let's talk about this.
I know, but what we tend to do, or certainly what I tend to do, was, oh, just me being silly. You know, why did that thought
yeah.
come into my mind? And it was only when it was later confirmed that I gave it any weight.
Yeah, wow, that's really a good story. Oh, I hope he found his way out of that situation later.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I'm sure that all of our listeners have had experiences like this, you know, when we just know something mm-hmm. with all certainty, with no shadow of doubt, amidst the din of other people's voices or other ideas or our disbelief or whatever. And there's that wonderful slide by Steve Jobs. Perhaps you can put that on for us, Tony.
Certainly.
In this one, he says, "Don't let the noise of other people's opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and your intuition." Isn't that great?
Yeah, very nice.
And, you know, Larry Dossey starts his book, The Science of Premonitions, with a story that he had. He had a dream about a friend's colleague, a young son, requiring medical attention. And he woke up and he thought, that doesn't make any sense, you know, and then he just disregarded it. And then, of course, that did happen the very day. And maybe I'll just read a little bit out of Larry's book, too. He said, "My training in medicine has sensitized me to premonitions. Health and illness, clinics and hospitals are prime stalking grounds for these phenomena. Yet we physicians have a tortured relationship with them. We are trained to honor evidence-based medicine with its rigid algorithms and decision trees. This approach deliberately excludes hunches, intuition, premonitions, and other varieties of knowing that don't conform to reason and analysis." Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like Larry Dossey. I mean, I've not read that book, but I read his book about cancer.
Oh, yeah, good book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go ahead and put that next slide on then that has these titles. So, Living in the Light, A Guide to Personal and Planetary Transformation by Shakti Gawain. And then Second Sight, A Psychiatrist Clairvoyant Tells Her Extraordinary Story and Shows You How to Discover Your Psychic Gifts by Judith Orloff, M.D. And then The Science of Premonitions, How Knowing the Future Can Help Us Avoid Danger, Maximize Opportunities, and Create a Better Life by Larry Dossey. Good ones, huh?
Excellent.
Yeah. So one of my mentors, Ann Armstrong, who used to teach classes in developing your psychic ability, she did a lot of work for the police force in helping them to solve crimes or find missing people. And then there's lots of traders who, you know, trade futures and things on the New York Stock Exchange that have very good intuition and follow their hunches. And many of them have things like lucky wristwatches that they wear or talismans like St. Christopher's that they feel help them. And over a decade ago, I learned that the budget for the CIA was at that time something like $13 million for working with psychics who were doing remote viewing. And probably very few of us know what their budget for psychics is now, but mm-hmm. my guess is that if it was $13 million a decade ago, it's probably much larger than that. And our awareness of the reality of psychic phenomenon has also entered into our mainstream media. There's a lot of movies and television shows that talk about it. Not too long ago, we had The Men Who Stare at Goats that starred Ewan McGregor and George Clooney, Kevin Spacey and Jeff Bridges, an all-star cast. And then one of my favorite movies, Hearts in Atlantis, starring Anthony Hopkins. And then there was a television show called ER that was very popular many years. And Terry Garr, a famous actress, a wonderful woman who since has passed away, I believe, she played a very popular role of a woman named Celinda Randlett, a patient who had displayed clairvoyant abilities which helped to save lives and prevent medical errors. And then there was that very popular Gene Roddenberry science fiction television series, Star Trek, The Next Generation, that was so popular in the 80s and 90s. I think Frank and I watched every one of them. And in it, there was this woman, Marina Sirtis, I believe was her name, and she played the role of Deanna Troi, who was a clairvoyant who always accompanied the captain on his missions. So I think that the tide of public acceptance of psychic ability is definitely starting to turn. We just have to get the authorities and the people who are in, you know, positions of decision making to come along with us. And I'm glad to say that that is beginning to happen, as is evidenced by the CIA with their budget for psychic ability.
Hmm. Talking of all those television shows, I used to watch Medium with Chloe, and starred the real life medium, Alison Dubois, as played by Patricia Arquette. And I wanted to ask you about this because usually, if I remember it correctly, she would have dreams. And a bit like you were saying, you know, when you get your hits, when you're working with people, the dream, it only kind of like, it hinted at the problem, and then there would be another one. It didn't explicitly tell her what was going on. And, you know, bit by bit, each dream would take her a little bit closer to, you know, solving the case.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could speak about that.
Oh, well, sure. You know, and not only will our nighttime dreams give us pertinent psychic information, but also, as we've shared, you know, over the past few weeks, we can get guidance from inspirations. And so in her case, you know, hers was primarily coming from the dream state.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you just have to ride with it. And slowly but surely, it makes its awareness into our conscious mind, and we're able to figure it out. But it starts with paying attention to it, with really listening to it, paying attention. What was that dream? It starts with recording our dreams. So that's what we're going to be focusing on next month. After we have our week of self-love, we're going to be going into a series of weeks talking about dream interpretation and dream recall, because it is so important for us. And then, like I was saying, you know, we can get our guidance from inspirations. That's one of my favorite ways is, you know, when I feel something like, ooh, I'd love to do that. I try to be sure to do that every day, because that's a psychic hit. That's a psychic hit from our higher self, which is a really great way for our information to come to us. And, you know, we can have communications with plants and animals, as we've discussed recently on the radio show. And so many of us have incredible stories about how animals have helped us, you know, making our lives easier and even saving our lives in some cases. There's a really beautiful book that I just love. It's called Animal Miracles, Inspirational and Heroic Stories by Brad Steiger and Sherry Hansen-Steiger. And we'll show a slide in just a minute with that title so you can jot it down. But they, you know, some of my favorite communications have happened with me with animals in my life. And then there's also guided imagery meditations that we can take with our spirit guides and spirit companions can bring so many blessings into our lives. One of the books that I also really love, it's going to be on the slide, is called Companions in Spirit, A Guide to Working with Your Spirit Helpers by, I think it's Maggie Lee Garfield and Jack Grant. You might as well just go ahead and put that slide on, I guess, Tony.
Certainly.
Yeah. And then one of the things that I learned and picked up from that book, which was, you know, we can call upon the spirits of those who have come before us. So sometimes when I'm working with my book, I'll call upon my grandmother, who published a couple of books and was such a helper. And when Frank and I are building something using next to nothing, you know, we'll call upon the spirit of Domingo, who was this wonderful man in our life where I used to keep my horse all the time at Domingo's property. And he was such an interesting and colorful character in our lives and could build something out of nothing. So, you know, we can do things like that as well, to call upon these spirit guides to help us. And then another book that I really loved, which is called Mother Wit, A Guide to Healing and Psychic Development by Diane Marie Child. My guess is that she may have originally had a name like Johnson. And she decided to make a little shift there, which I really appreciate. I think that's a good idea for us to begin to make changes like that, so that we are no longer holding one gender above the other in our lives. And her book also really helped with some, you know, of maybe some of the psychological challenges that we sometimes have in our lives by calling on guides like perhaps, I will sometimes call upon Kuan Yin, you know, the embodiment of compassionate loving kindness. Or maybe I might call upon the protector goddess Artemis, who watches over children and animals. And last week, perhaps you remember on the radio show, we met a spirit guide, and we had the homework to ask for their name. And lots of us, I know, have had wonderful experiences with this exercise. So, you know, if you've gained some really helpful insights with this type of exercise, we'd love to hear about them. And then, as well, angels can step into our lives and help us to avert danger. I remember a story of a man who had a number of surgeries and was, you know, his cardiologist was, you know, after the fifth triple bypass or whatever, he was like, I don't know, you know. He was completely out of breath, and he struggled to the side of a lake from his car, just barely walking was more than he could handle. And a woman just appeared by the shore of the lake, and she said, "Cayenne pepper, that's what you need, you know." And he thought, now how can that possibly be? What is she, some hippie throwback from the 60s, you know? But as it turned out, cayenne pepper is what saved his life. And it's not for everybody, mind you, but for some, you know. So we can open ourselves up to work with the nature spirits in Devas where we live, and they can help us to balance the energies that are swirling around us in our home. And then, as well, I like to balance my own internal energies very regularly. So especially when I'm doing my work, I do a very thorough grounding and centering, and I call in my higher self, and I balance my chakras every day. And it's a really good idea to give heed to our body's own subtle energy. And this is, like I was mentioning, part of my protocol for my clairvoyant work. I really like to clear my own energies, and I clear my psychological and my emotional energies, and I call in my guides and my angels along with the guides and angels of whomever I'm serving. And the room where I do my healing work has been cleansed, and our whole house has been cleansed. And I extensively use the power of prayer along with my intention and my positive thoughts and beliefs. And I pay attention to the subtle energies around me and around my home. And I take my work very seriously and sincerely. So I tend to not only the physical but also the etheric aspects of this service. And because of that, because I consciously keep everything nice and clear and clean, as a result, my work brings me my greatest joy. I love my work. It's my total passion, and it keeps me profoundly connected to the universe flowing through me and around me all the time in that great universal exchange of love. So, you know, not only are we psychic, but so are our animals. This little book I was just mentioning, The Animal Miracles, and, you know, for instance, the dog knows when the child is in danger and comes and barks and nips at the mother's heels to get her attention and her help. And a friend of mine told me that whenever she was taking care of these goats that she used to take care of, the goats wouldn't go into the milking shed on the day that an earthquake was about to happen. And then there was that tsunami, you know, in Sri Lanka where the elephants wouldn't go down to the beach.
Yes, I remember reading about an article about that in the National Geographic magazine.
Oh, yeah.
And it said that the eyewitnesses said that the, you know, all the elephants just screamed and they ran off to higher ground. And the dogs refused to go outdoors. And apparently the flamingos, they abandoned their usual low-flying breeding areas.
Oh, yeah.
And even zoo animals rushed into their shelters and they couldn't get them to come back out. Nobody knew why.
Oh.
And I can still remember to this day seeing footage of loads of animals gathered together on higher ground where they'd all gone to find safety. I mean, somehow they knew, while most of the humans didn't seem to.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it reminds me, once when we moved to California, Chloe was all for getting a Peking duck because she'd been told that they can foretell when there's an earthquake because they start going a little crazy. And it's apparent she was worried that we might get caught up in an earthquake.
Well, it is part of California sometimes.
Yeah, and we have actually, but not
yeah.
a serious one.
Yeah, thank goodness. So there are also some really great tools that we can use to enhance our psychic ability in our day-to-day lives. It can really help us in our work and around the home. And one of the first ones that I used was introduced to me by a dear friend probably 35 years ago. And this tool has been very widely used for personal guidance around the world for centuries. And, of course, I'm speaking here of the I Ching. The I Ching, or Book of Changes, it's called. And the copy that I have has a really beautiful foreword in it from Carl Jung. And some would say, and I feel that it is, a version of telekinesis, you know, the ability to affect movement of inanimate objects at a distance. And so using our intention for good guidance in our lives, our hand tosses up the coins, and their fall is directed in concert with our higher self in order to give us guidance and direction in our lives.
Oh, I've got that particular version of the I Ching, although I haven't had it on my person for a very long time. I'm not quite sure where it is now.
Oh.
I used to use it when I was younger. It was the Richard Wilhelm translation with the Carl Jung foreword.
Yeah.
And I do remember I got a lot of help from it. My friend Tim Freak, he gave me my very first copy. I must have been, I don't know, 19 years old or something. And he showed me how to use it, you know, with the coins and,
yeah.
and how to interpret it. And, yeah, I guess very, very powerful, powerful tool.
Yeah, it is. And I think the foreword by Carl Jung is really nice. It's about 50 pages long or something. It's quite great. And a friend of mine showed me how to use it, too.
Yeah, I think that's really, you know, the best way to begin with something like that.
Right. Lovely.
Anyway, Josephine, we have had a message from Ed.
Oh, lovely.
And he writes, "When my father was a baby, still in diapers, his parents took in a stray dog. The dog watched over the baby faithfully, including picking him up by the diaper to carry him out of the street and back into the grassy yard."
Oh, great.
Isn't that lovely?
Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I love that. Thank you, Ed, so much for calling in. And you know, we do hear stories of this, of how dogs and cats and birds and all kinds of animals have rescued our little ones for us, and they are all so heartwarming and touching, and they really help us to realize that complete interconnectedness that we do all share. And so back to these versions, these things that can help us in our day-to-day life, like the I Ching, you know, this is a great way for us to get started in opening up to receiving our inner guidance. And the same sort of benefit can come when we use other tools to do readings for ourselves and gain insights. And I've spoken recently about scrying and crystal gazing, but I've also enjoyed seeking guidance and wisdom from card decks like Jamie Sam's animal cards, which are known as the medicine cards or medicine cards. And these can be really wonderful tools and great for anyone, beginners and advanced seekers alike. And maybe you can put on our next slide then.
Certainly.
And another card deck that I've really enjoyed is the Angelic Messenger cards by Meredith Young Sowers. And there are many, many cards available out there, you know, that you can use that are available on the internet or in local bookstores. That's always where I like to get my things like this if I can, support our local bookstores. And what you can do with this type of tool is you can pick a card for a specific problem or lay out an arrangement of cards on the table or on the ground before you. Maybe you spread out a nice cloth and lay them out. And, you know, perhaps, and then these can give you guidance. So perhaps you might think, well, the cards that I place to the left side of this layout spread, they might represent the past, while the card placed to your right could represent the future. Or maybe you could decide that those placed at the top mean guidance from your higher self, whereas those placed below at the bottom could represent practical help coming from the earth plane or something like that. However you want to do it, whatever arrangement feels just right to you, you know, it's all good. And then you can make your own set of cards. I have a number of friends who've done this, and it's a really fun sort of an inner visionary little project to take on, where you go through magazines that you really like that, you know, have a lot of really interesting pictures that appeal to you, and you cut out the ones that you like, and then you take a regular deck of playing cards and just go ahead and cut out the pictures and cut them to fit the shape of the playing cards. You might have a little template to draw around. And using a little bit of glue, you just apply the image to the back and front side of the playing card. So you have two images, maybe the playing cards are ones that have an image that you like that's consistent through all the cards on the one side, and then you just paste your picture on the back side where there's like the Ace of Spades or something and cover that part of the card over with the images that you've chosen from the magazine. And it's a really nice little thing to do, and kind of you can kind of settle into it and, you know, give yourself a thing that you can kind of rally around. And then this also, what this can do is it lets us give voice to the higher self within and receive guidance and direction in life. Or we can just take a moment to be quiet and go outside or sit with ourselves and ask within. And however we do it, you know, cards or just checking within or talking with animals or spirit guides or speaking with plants or listening to the wind or the colors in the sky or whatever it is, however we do it, the more we practice, the better we get at it. And so speaking of that, I'd like to take us into a little exercise right now.
Okay.
Where we let ourselves intuit whatever we need to know. So let's take a moment right now to just think of a question that we'd like to have an answer to. So So I'll just give you a moment to think of a question. Sometimes it's a good idea to go with the most pressing question in our life for the moment. What is it that's the big question? And then know that the information that you're about to receive from within will come to you in a way that is immediately clear to you, so that you instantly know the deeper meaning. And this sets our intention. And when we give our intention our attention, it guides us to manifestation. So now let's go ahead and start our exercise. So get comfortable and relax and take a couple of easy breaths. Close your eyes if you like. Again, if you're operating machinery like driving a car, you'll want to save this one for later. And then take a moment to think fondly of your ears and your ability to hear. And think fondly of your eyes and your ability to see, as well as your ability to use your imagination, your mind's eye, your third eye. And think fondly of your sense of knowing, those times when you've had a nice, strong sense of knowing. You've gotten a lot of clarity and certainty. And think fondly of your body's ability to feel sensation, your tongue's ability to taste, and your olfactory sense, your sense of smell. And allow yourself to be grateful for these. Now think of your question, the one that you'd like an answer to. And just give yourself over to your senses and let an impression come to you using whatever sense your higher self chooses. Be it your clairvoyance, your clairaudience, your clairsentience, or your sense of knowing. And I'll just give us all a moment to receive an answer to our question. Take the first thing that pops into your mind. Trust yourself. And then let yourself remember whatever it is that you've received so that you can journal about it later. Perhaps it's the whole answer that you've received already, or perhaps it's one of those like my readings where it guides you to the next step of knowing. And then thank yourself for the inner guidance that you've just received. And then allow yourself to return to your normal waking consciousness. You can stretch a little bit. Open your eyes. And just take a couple of relaxed and easy breaths and return fully to the room or the great outdoors, wherever you happen to be. How was that for you, Tony?
Yeah, really good.
Good.
I struggled a bit to get anything to begin with. And then I thought I was getting this message to just write, just like almost like an automatic writing, just write and then the answer will be revealed there.
Oh, that's great.
So maybe we'll give that a try tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you know, as a writer yourself, you know, that is usually the most common psychic skill that comes through for writers, is an ability to do automatic writing. And usually, you know how it is when you're sometimes when you're writing poetry or you're in the flow, you just get the next phrase, like, what this means is da-da-da, you know, and then you just get that, and then the next phrase comes in, you know, it'll help us along with the methods of whatever, you know, you just sort of, off you go. That's great. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. So meditations like the one we just experienced are really powerful ways for us to fine-tune our ability to listen within, and we have a lovely quote from Gisele Bündchen, who is the Brazilian ambassador for the United Nations and the Environment Program. And maybe you could put that slide on for us, Tony.
Certainly.
And perhaps you could read it out for us.
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay.
The more you trust your intuition, the more empowered you become, the stronger you become, and the happier you become.
Yeah, and if we listen to that voice within, our lives flow more easily. And, you know, you're walking out the door and you have a hunch that you should grab an extra avocado, so you do, and then you bump into a friend who happens to have some crackers in her bag and you sit down for lunch together and there's plenty for both of you. Or you're heading out to the beach and you have a hunch to grab an extra water bottle, and there you meet a friend who just so happens to have forgotten her water and she's thirsty. And you have the extra one to give her. You know, our inner guidance often comes like this. It's very subtle. It's often simple thoughts that feel right and also kind of neutral. And often we have the feeling that it's no big deal. We're not too invested in the outcome either way. And it doesn't necessarily make any sense, like, you know, why would I need an extra avocado? Or, you know, our practical, rational mind can easily dismiss it as being superfluous. But if we pay heed, life suddenly becomes easier. And a friend of mine was telling me a story just this morning about how their plans for their new house were interrupted when the contractor said that he couldn't do it anymore, and they'd been, you know, a year working on these plans and this contractor and all these things. It was just like coming like molasses. And she said at first she was really upset, but after she settled down, she and her husband decided to do much less with the house. And now, instead of moving slow as molasses, which had been the case so far, now all of their plans are just flowing so much more easily and happening swiftly. And you know, that's one of the signs, isn't it? You know, sometimes we just have to let go and let the universe move in.
Yeah, well, that's certainly what I'm finding now. I mean, just the other day, I was driving to Aurora Grande to work, and I got the idea that I should stop and get some freshly squeezed orange juice. And I think previously I would have looked at my watch and thought, I don't really have the time, and I would have just ignored it. But now, because of the changes that I'm making and valuing this more, I thought, well, I need to stop. I need to get it. And so what if I'm a couple of minutes late?
Good.
And I just figured some part of me knew that I needed it.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly how it goes. And it can be really simple like that. You know, the more you follow your intuition, the better. And our synchronicities, you know, those are meaningful coincidences. Those are also great examples of our inner guidance. They're helping us with our lives, giving us direction. Maybe you can put on that slide, Tony, for us.
Certainly.
This is a wonderful quote by Eileen Caddy. She was one of the founders of the Findhorn Garden up in northern Scotland. Will you read it for us?
Certainly.
Great.
Cease trying to work everything out with your mind. It will get you nowhere. Live by intuition and inspiration, and let your whole life be revelation.
Isn't that great?
Mm.
Yeah, thank you. Well, what do you think? Do we have another minute or two?
Yep, we're just about out of time. Do you want to just squeeze in something else?
Well, all right then. So another area that is considered paranormal or psychic phenomenon is the remembrance of our past lives. And Brian Weiss, MD, came out with that book so many years ago, Many Lives, Many Masters. It's still in print, I believe. And that book is sort of the true story of this. He had this young patient who was under hypnosis with him, and she started to remember these numerous past lives, and each session was about another past life. And with each one that she remembered, she was relieved of the tensions that had created in her that crippling anxiety that she was suffering from. And he didn't even really recognize them at first as past lives, but that's what, and he didn't believe in past lives when he first started, but that's what it came to be as the time wore on, and it was a great help for her. And she was completely healed of her problem. And then another book that I really love is by Roger Woolger, MD, PhD, and maybe you can put on that slide too, because
okay.
I think we've got one for this, these books. And this one's called Other Lives, Other Selves, and he's a Jungian psychotherapist who has really been able to help us, guide us into our own discovery of our own past lives for ourselves, which I think is always far preferable if you can do your own psychic work for yourself. I like to really go to the source, which is me, when it comes to my life. And then, as well, there's another, you know, well, there's so many wonderful books by these great mediums, like George Anderson, Walking in the Garden of Souls. And, you know, we can connect with our deceased loved ones. And when we do, that can bring great solace to those of us who are still living. And so often we just need a word or two, you know, some sort of signal that helps us to know that they're doing well and that they're okay on the other side. And then perhaps one of my all-time favorite books is called Visitations from the Afterlife, True Stories of Love and Healing by Lee Lawson. And, you know, so many of us have felt strong connections with our loved ones after they've passed on. And the time has come for us to no longer hide or deny these wonderful exchanges of loving and caring. They can really help us to live better lives and to instead embrace the truth of who we really are. All of us are amazing, multidimensional, gigantic spirits who travel in soul families together, incarnating and learning and growing while we are condensed down into these little tiny human bodies for the few years that we walk on Earth as we are born and reborn again and again and again.
Well, thank you, Josephine. On that really inspiring note, let me say that the link to next week's show can be found on Josephine's website at stepintomagic.com. Just to click on the top menu for the radio.
And in closing, I'd like to say how much nicer the world is becoming as we all openly embrace the use of our psychic skills at work and at home. And we're able to avert danger and to stay on the path of our own true purpose and to live beautiful lives full of spiritual growth, joy, and inspiration. And in closing, I'd just like to acknowledge again my friend and teacher, mentor, Jana Massey, and thank you all for the gift of your time by sharing this little blessing that Jana gave to us, which is, as our gifts are given in love, they are received in love, and we honor their wise use and their increase for all concerned, and so it is.
Josephine, as always, it's been a real pleasure speaking with you this evening. And I hope that everyone listening has enjoyed using psychic skills at work and at home. This has been show number PA-4.15. Most of our listeners find that they really appreciate a weekly email reminder about the topic for next week's show and any upcoming events that Josephine might be offering, along with a link that you can click to take you straight there. To join our email list, simply send us a message via the box on the left-hand side of your screen, or go to Josephine's website and visit the contact page, and we keep all of our emails confidential. And remember, it's easy to subscribe to our podcasts. Just go to the menu of our website and click there. And if you've enjoyed the show, we really hope that you will tell your friends. We look forward to having all of you join us again next month when we invite you to share with us your wisdoms about how self-love has increased the flow of love in your life.
Tony and I wish you all insight, wisdom, and magic as you pursue the journey of inner knowing. And please know that I hold you all in light and in love. Thank you so much for listening. This is Josephine Lang. Until next week, good night. Mm-hmm.